Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Michael Denk, currently the parochial vicar of St. Joseph Parish in Amherst. Welcome, Father.
Thanks, Tim. Glad to be here with you.
It's great to have you again. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we're going to talk today more about the events that led up to the crucifixion. Let's talk about the agony in the garden. If Jesus was God, was he really fearful?
Yeah, so I got to visit the Mount of Olives and actually go to the Garden of Gethsemane in the Holy Land, and just what an amazing experience that was to actually go to the place, you know, where he withdrew with his disciples for that last night, for that night of prayer with the Father, where he asked them to stay awake with him, and
So it became real for you. You've read it many times.
Oh, yeah.
Meditated on it.
Yeah.
And then to be there,
it's like to actually be in that place was amazing. You know, they still have the stone that they believe that was actually placed, the place where he kind of wept, you know, and just and kind of rested on. And one of the neat things was my father asked me, I said, "Do you want anything from the Holy Land? I'll get you anything you want when I go to the Holy Land." He wanted a picture in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so that was kind of what I was doing for him. So I took a nice picture of him, and I even brought back a branch from one of the olive trees and, you know, kind of made up this whole collage for him. And my siblings were laughing at Christmas because I got him a branch from the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, how do you compete with that? Mm-hmm. But, you know, what it made me do is meditate on. I was looking through also all these pictures of Christ in the garden. And you see in these pictures the depicted suffering in his face. So it was a suffering that was so intense, so spiritually and emotionally intense, that he sweat blood. You know, that drops of blood began to pour out of him because he was. So we do know that it was a moment of intense suffering and a moment of agony. How to describe that in terms of fear? You know, I think I'm a little cautious saying that he was fearful. He probably experienced the emotion of fear. So he was human. He was fully human, fully divine. So just as you and I can experience fear, Christ could experience that feeling of fear. But the difference between that is he never lost faith. So there was never a sense of true spiritual fear, of giving in to that fear. It was a feeling, an emotional feeling, but not a spiritual experience of fear, I guess.
Okay. Question 101 of the UCAT asks that the crucifixion is such a horrible way to die. Why did Jesus die in this fashion?
So as we talked about a little bit yesterday, the crucifixion was seen as being the most horrific way of dying. You know, and it's amazing. As I look up at the wall here on Living Bread Radio, there's a crucifix right here on the wall. You know, and we as Catholics, we always have crucifix somewhere that we can see it, hopefully in every room of our house, you know. So the first thing you see when you go into a church somewhere is got to be the crucifix. And that seems bizarre because usually when you decorate your house, you don't want to put like a horrible image there. Mm-hmm. But for us, we can because Christ conquered death. He conquered even the most horrifying thing in the crucifixion. And we know that the cross was only a step to the resurrection. So we can even put that on our walls. But yeah, especially then, it was seen as the most humiliating, degrading experience for anyone to go through would be the crucifixion. So only the worst criminals, the people that done horrific things would be people that were crucified. And, you know, as they were scourged and as they were mocked and as they were beaten and as they were spit upon, and it was all seen as a public form of shame. You know, the crucifixion was a very public way of dying. Even the cross is held up high, you know, so that people from all over can see it. Mm-hmm. And it was intentionally the most horrible, shameful thing that did. And Christ took this on. So basically, he did it so that we could see I've been through this. You know, so no matter what you have been through in life, maybe you've experienced great humiliation. Maybe you've experienced just horrible abuse and violence and beatings and rejection. Christ experienced it. He experienced the most horrifying form that we could ever know in the crucifixion. And so he did it in a sense to say that I'm with you in your suffering. I do know what it's like. I have been there. And I can be there with you in yours.
Mm-hmm. I like to wear a crucifix on the outside of my clothing, no matter whether I'm at Mass with a tie or playing golf or just about my day. And I've been asked more than once, why do you Catholics have Christ still on the cross? My Jesus is resurrected.
Right.
And you still have him on the cross. Why is that? What would you say?
Well, I think especially, you know, one of the difficulties in our era is we want to gloss over the cross. We just want to go right to the resurrection. And I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't want to experience the resurrection? You know, but Christ constantly taught us and revealed to us that there is no way to life except through the cross. You know, so that's why we venerate Christ's body on the cross, because that was his greatest act of love for us. You know, so he said that the greatest act of love is to not only love your friend, but to lay down your life so that another may live. So we see his body on the cross as his ultimate act of love for us. You know, and just as if anybody else has shown you any sign of affection or ever given you a gift that meant something, you want to hang on to it and you want to put it somewhere of great display, or you want to carry it with you all the time. That's what we do with the crucifix. It was his ultimate act of love for us. And so that's why we carry it with us, and not only carry it, but reveal it and show it.
Mm-hmm. It's also very scripturally accurate, because St. Paul, I believe it was his letter to the Corinthians, has a four-letter phrase that says, "We preach Christ crucified."
Yeah.
So again, you can Google that phrase, and I believe it's the second letter.
Yeah, we do. We preach a Christ crucified. You know, so we don't just preach. I mean, obviously, we preach the resurrection, but it's always through the suffering death of Jesus. That's the Paschal mystery.
So it leads us to our next question from the UCAT, is that Jesus encourages us to take up our cross and follow him. So what does that mean?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, our mothers in the past or grandmothers have always said, offer it up. You know, take your cross, whatever it may be, and offer it up. What it basically means is whatever suffering you have in your life, join it to the Lord. And that suffering doesn't have to be pointless, meaningless, wasted suffering. That suffering can become part of God's redemption, not only in your life, but for the life of the world. You know, Mother Teresa, when she was here in the United States, she was driving just through one of the cities, and she looked out her car window at a hospital, and she just said, there's so much wasted suffering there. You know, if all the people knew that they could join their suffering to the cross, offer it to Christ, and allow Christ to work through their suffering, that could do so much wonder in our world. You know, and we do anything that we can to get out of suffering. Now, certainly, it doesn't mean we should seek suffering or try to, like, be like masochists and, you know, find any way we can to suffer as we can, but we shouldn't run from it either. You know, so if we do experience suffering in our life, to try to, not try, but just to offer that to God and say, God, just like Jesus, you know, if you can take this chalice from me, that would be wonderful. Please do. But if not, you know, I accept it, and please bless it and allow it to be part of your plan.
I think it's one of the greatest teachings of the church is redemptive suffering. Where, as you mentioned, we can not only use it for our own redemption, but we can also use it for the redemption and to help save other souls, much like in the first chapter of Mark, where the friends bring a friend that's on a cot and they can't get to Jesus, and they get on the roof and they remove the tiles and lower them down. And if you pay close attention to what Jesus says, he says, because of their faith, I command you, get up and walk. Right. And then he says, well, that's easy enough to say, you know. Or first, I think he said his sins are forgiven, and then he told him to get up and walk.
Yeah, and so if you're suffering with anything now, you know, I just invite you to take a moment and allow that suffering to become prayer. So whatever you're suffering with, maybe you've just had a surgery, or maybe you're suffering with a disease or mental illness or anything, take it right now. Just take a moment and say, God, use this. I give this to you, and use it as you will for the redemption of the world. and God will bless that suffering, and he will make such good happen because you join it with him.
That's well said. And one point I'd also like to make is that in Luke's gospel, the word daily is added to that phrase.
Yeah.
So Jesus says that take up your cross daily and follow me.
Right, yeah.
So it's a daily thing that we have to deal with. And some of us have things like depression or diabetes or maybe
chronic, some kind of chronic illness. And it is a daily thing that every day you get up in the morning, maybe every day you're faced with suffering.
Exactly.
But that can become, every day that suffering can become an invitation to grow in holiness and to be part of Christ's redemptive plan. You know, so you don't, first of all, you don't have to suffer alone, and know that your suffering is not without purpose or meaning if you join it to Christ.
That's well said, Father. I remember Mother Teresa saying that, she said, suffering is a gift. And I thought that was such a bizarre statement. How suffering's a gift? I've spent my whole adult life trying to avoid suffering.
Right, yeah.
And it's a gift. And again, once I understood what you just said is how we can unite it with Christ, then it's a joy. It's a cause for joy to actually have to suffer, because now we can utilize it by turning it around and offering it up with Christ.
Right, and you know, suffering does it. It's a gift because it makes us vulnerable and it makes us compassionate to other people that suffer. You know, so if you've had cancer, you are so much more compassionate to other people when they experience that. You know, if you've had depression, you're so much more compassionate to people that have experienced that depression. If you've had any kind of suffering, I don't know, if you've even given birth, you're probably much more compassionate to another mother as she goes through, you know, all the ups and downs and labors and, you know, everything like that. So that's the blessing of suffering, is it unites us not only with each other, but ultimately with Christ.
Well said, Father. Some groups say that Jesus didn't really die. He just appeared to die. So was Jesus really dead on the cross?
Yeah, so Jesus really died. So if you get nothing else out of any of this, not only was Jesus real, he lived here as a person. He did actually, it happened. He suffered and died on a cross. There's historical evidence for that. Not only that he was here, that it happened, but he did rise from the dead as well. So he did die death. He died. And then he rose. We have to be careful not to gloss over that death part, you know, so we don't believe that he just kind of transferred into the resurrection. He died. He suffered and died at our hands.
Mm-hmm. And again, he did it to redeem us from our sins.
To redeem us and to be with us in all things, even death.
And he did it out of love. It was a love that we can't even imagine. He loves us so much.
And, the one thing I think that we all fear is death, and ultimately he did it to show us that even this, you don't have to fear, you know, because he's conquered death.
That's a great point. I've often said that I think death will be our greatest day of our life, because our Heavenly Father loves us so much that those of us who die in friendship with God are going to experience a glorious moment at our death.
Yeah, it's going to be just like letting go and letting him catch you.
I like it. Well, all said, we've been listening to Father Michael Denk. Father, you have a blog spot, don't you?
Yeah, it's fathermichaeldenk.blogspot.com. So fathermichaeldenk, D-E-N-K, .blogspot.com.
Great. Thanks for sharing that with us. You've been listening to Faith with Father. This is Tim Perry, your host. Join us next time. But until then, may God bless you and yours. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.